Here we are on the road back to New Brajadam. This morning we crossed over the sea, or at least that finger of the sea, from the island to the mainland in Croatia, split. And now we're driving, as you can probably hear from the car noise. And we'll be going to New Brajadam just for the night. Lokanath Swami Maharaj is there. And I want to drop in on the last day of the boys' camp, the Drona camp, that they're camping out by the side of the Jamuna. And then tomorrow, after doing a seminar for about 50 guests who've come from the UK, and then we'll move to Budapest. And tomorrow evening, there's a big kirtan evening at our Govinda Club. And weekend in Budapest, and then we're coming back. Ooh, we came from 30-degree weather, and just right now, just saw the board outside as we were passing by, 15 degrees. Pretty cold. All of a sudden, I've got my socks, hat, and coat on. Thank you everyone for following the presentations we've been making on the 24, 28 gurus. Let me just continue on with the ocean, which is an example that the Lord himself uses in the Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter. Krishna says, Apuryamanam Vachalapatishtam. He says, it's like many, many rivers, bodies of water empty themselves in the ocean, but the ocean always remains still and never overflows. Similarly, practicing devotees need to learn how to tolerate desires. Material desires, they come, and if you notice, they also go. And another one comes, and that one also goes. And ultimately, of course, our business is not to just watch desires coming and going, but to purify them. And by the process of chanting Hare Krishna, that purification takes place. But this does lay emphasis on the first instruction that Krishna gives in the Gita, Tam Statiksha Shabharata. We need to be tolerant. And the next guru is the moth. And you all seen examples of moths at night. They're attracted by light. And if you've got a lamp, well, then they'll flicker around in the lamp. And if you've got a candle, if you've got a campfire going, then they'll fly right into the flames. And this is exactly what we as conditioned souls do, is that we're attracted by the flickering forms of material enjoyment. Particularly men are attracted to the form of a woman, women are attracted to the form of a man, and it goes on and on and on, and that's the strongest form of attraction. But all of this attraction to sense gratification leads ultimately to our death. And sometimes you may have seen in a smaller flame a moth will just be coming in at full speed and fly right through, get a little charred, and then come back again for more. So now, no matter how much we suffer, no matter how much we get burned by the material energy, we're still coming back for more and more and more. But ultimately, we need to learn sense control. We need to indulge our senses in spiritual sense gratification, like eating prasadam as the alternative to just giving the tongue a free rein, or if one must engage in sex life and can't restrain from it, then only for the purpose of begetting children. That type of sense control, along with strict sadhana, is purifying. and will ultimately free us from material desires. The next gurus are the bee. And there's two types of bees. Interestingly, there's the honeybee and there's the bumblebee. Now, the honeybee goes from bee to bee, it goes from flower to flower, collects a little honey, and then takes the rest to the hive where it collects it. And we can learn some good things from this and also some bad things, some things to do and some things not to do. And these are, by the way, the two different types of lessons, learning from what should be done and learning from what should not be done. So in the same way that a bee, honeybee, goes from flower to flower and takes a little honey, intelligent person should take the essence of scriptures and apply the essence of those scriptures, which is loving devotional service, for the service of the Lord. One should not be too greedy, not take too much from any one particular place. Prabhupada gives the example of animals, that if you throw out birds, if you throw out a whole quantity of grains, the birds will come, they will take what they need, they will pick what they need and fly away. If a human being comes there, he'll gather the whole thing up and take it away for himself. So we should just take what we need. But on the other hand, the honeybee then stores the surplus in the hive. And what happens? Well, a beekeeper comes along, a bear comes along, a honey badger comes along, some honey thief comes along and takes what they store up. So this concept of storing and more than what we need is artificial and ultimately leads to suffering and disappointment. Just take what we need and keep just some very basic supplies, but don't hoard, because when you hoard, you'll become disappointed. But then there's the bumblebee, the bumblebee doesn't hoard. The bumblebee just takes as much as it needs, and we've already spoken about that. On the other hand, sometimes bumblebees don't have a hive. They just live from day to day. Every day they take something, and the next day they go and they eat some more. But sometimes the bumblebee gets too engrossed in eating in the flower, and as night approaches, the petals of the flower close and trap him inside. So once again, if you become over greedy, then you lose your life. The next guru is the elephant, and not many elephants in this part of the world, but in India and Africa there are. And in India, traditionally, elephants were used for battle, for war. They're used for transport, they're used for logging, they're used as living tractors because they're so very powerful. And capturing bull elephants is no easy thing. They're very dangerous. How do you get close to them? So what the elephant catchers used to do was that they would dig a big, almost circular pit, and at the end of that pit, they would put a, or in the center of that pit, they would chain a female elephant. And when the bull elephant saw the female elephant, then it became completely enamored. And that pit was then covered with all kinds of branches, twigs, so it just looked like normal grass. And what happens is that the elephant falls in. And once it falls in, it can't get out. So I don't know how the elephant catchers got them out. Probably they drugged the animal, but then ultimately they would drag him out and ultimately chain him down, and the elephants would be chained down. So that's the same situation, that if one becomes too enamored by sex life, then he becomes a slave. He becomes chained down and becomes a slave of the material energy. We shouldn't allow ourselves to fall in that very humiliating and embarrassing condition. Rather, we should control our senses and not become the slaves of the opposite sex, either men to women, women to men. It's all the same. So be self-controlled, and particularly this material desire, the desire for sex life, is the most powerful. If one wants to be a yogi, if one wants to be a serious devotee, you must be able to overcome this urge. Vacha vegam, manasrikoda vegam, udara pasta vegam. Hare Krishna.